The True Vine Charismatic Church International presents our weekly audio podcast with Reverend Tete Jangma. Let this message fill you with the Word of God. Stay blessed.
Exodus chapter 14. And I'm preaching on the topic, why His presence was with them. Why His presence was with them. In Exodus chapter 14, we want to read from verses 19. Amen. Are you there?
Yes.
We want to read from verses 19 through 31. It reads, "And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before their face and stood behind them." Verse 20, "And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near to the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on the right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them in the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch of the Lord, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drove them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, 'Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians.' And the Lord said unto Moses, 'Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, and upon the chariots, and upon the horsemen.' And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength. When the morning appeared, the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea." Verse 28. "And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry ground in the midst of the sea, and the waters were all a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the shore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Say amen to the reading of the word. I'm going to preach this message under four main sub-themes. The first is divine guidance. The second is divine protection. The third is divine miracle. And the fourth is divine victory. So you have divine guidance, divine protection, divine miracle, and divine victory. Now, coming back to the subject, it says why his presence was with them. I'm sure you remember somewhere in the life of Moses, as he offered leadership to Israel, God on one occasion when he was angry with the people, declined to lead them further from where they were. And he said that my presence will no longer go with you, but my angel will go ahead of you. There was something remarkable about Moses, that he understood the concept of angelic ministry, and he knew that there was a strong distinction between that and the ministry of the presence of God, if you like me to describe that. So he had a way of disagreeing with God, lobbying with God, arguing it out, and say, if you will not lead us by your presence, then don't take us away from where we are right now. Now, the presence of God is such an important thing that I want to suggest you don't get your degree without a presence.
Jesus.
Don't get a job without a presence.
Jesus.
Don't get a husband or wife without a presence. And don't prosper without a presence. Any other thing you do minus the presence will come back to naught. But it is the presence that will sustain you, gravitate you toward higher grounds, maintain it, establish it, and cause generations after you to come and enjoy it.
Amen.
We are not building for today, we are building for tomorrow. And we want to leave a lasting legacy that many generations that will come after us will come and enjoy this kind of blessing. Now, concerning the first point that has to do with divine guidance, you realize the Bible says that he led them by day by a cloud and by night by a pillar of fire. The pillar of fire provided natural or supernatural light to them. And the cloud was like a shelter unto them in the day. Wherever the cloud stopped, they stopped. Whenever the cloud moved, they moved ahead. So Israel was not acting presumptuously. They were operating under the leadership and under the guidance of God. When I look through scriptures about the life of David, there was one time that he conducted a census on his army. He went counting them. And there is a particular sentence that preceded that, and Satan provoked David to count Israel. In other words, all the inspiration was not God. There are various things that can provoke us to do things. Jealousy is one. Oh, anger is another. Fear is the next. And on and on. And in this particular instance, David was not guided in this census by God. So God got angry. When you study scriptures, you realize that the Bible says 70,000 Israelites died through a plague because of just the mistake of the leader. 70,000 people died within a short space of time. There was a time that Israel were journeying toward the promised land, and Joshua was their leader, a group of people who lived only 3 days' journey away from them and came to deceive them. They came with molded bread. They came with tattered shoes. They came with fermented wine. And they decided to look dirty as if they had made a two-week journey. But after Joshua and his men entered into a contract with them that we shall not destroy you, they found that only 3 days afterwards that they had been deceived. So there's a catalog of examples in the Bible where some men in leadership were not guided under those circumstances by God. Now, if leaders can be misled, then what about you and I? I'm not hearing an amen.
Amen.
It means we must take the subject more seriously and we must apply our hearts to wisdom in that particular context. Jesus said in John 16:12, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, not some truth, not half truth, not partial truth, not only truth that you are interested in, but if you open up yourself into a wide horizon for the Holy Spirit, he will guide you and lead you into all truth.
Amen.
The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths.
Amen.
I remember one time I was praying for somebody who had a huge boil. And I felt that this boil must break open and the pus must just come out. So I said, Lord, break this boil and let the pus come out. But after I had prayed, a few days after, the boil shrank. So in the wisdom of God, this shouldn't become a sore. He chose to make the boil reduce, and eventually the boil disappeared. The Bible says, The Bible says, trust in the Lord and lean not on thy own understanding. I know a pastor who invited a lady to pray for, and the lady had a belly showing some good protuberance, if I may describe it as such. And so he thought she was pregnant, and not knowing that there was a growth in her abdomen, so he began to prophesy over the growth. Oh, you're not getting me. That a baby shall be born, and so on and so forth. So the lady was very polite. After service, she said, "Sir, I'm not pregnant. It's a growth, and I'm waiting to see my doctor." The Bible said, trust in the Lord and lean not on thy own understanding. On that occasion, the pastor was using his understanding. And many times when we are faced with choices in our lives, sometimes we compromise and we lean on our own understanding. As a child of God, where you must live is an important thing. Which school to even attend and which program to study is an important thing. If you gave me accounting, you have disturbed me. But if you gave Reverend Lai accounting, you have blessed him. In fact, you have disturbed me very much with accounting. And there are women who are looking for accounting in men that they cannot find. They don't have it. They may take care of you financially, but they may not be able to take care of you emotionally. Oh boy. So when you're emotionally hurt, they scream at you. They shout at you and say, "You, why? Use your faith." I'm not hearing an amen. So where you live, which school you attend, where you worship, you don't have to be in a huge church before you know God is present.
Yes, sir.
When I was a young Christian, one time I had a dream, and God led me from the church I was. It was a huge Pentecostal institution, but God led me to another place, which was a small classroom, and there were just six people there in the dream, and I heard a voice, "Go there and worship." So when I went there, it was so, and I started worshiping there. But within 2 years, I had been taught so much the word by that pastor in that small church that I had been ordained a pastor. He didn't ordain me. Some ministers came from Philadelphia, and when they met me over a space of 8 months, they said, "This man must be ordained."
Amen.
I would not have discovered my ministry if I had not opened myself up to the guidance of the Spirit of God. And church, I want to tell you, this place you are is a great place.
Amen.
If you won't clap, I came with clapping from Ghana, so if you don't take it, I'll clap myself. For some of you, your destiny will be secured when you are led into the right place. Even which car to buy is an important thing. I remember a brother many years ago when I was a young person in the faith, he bought a bus. And because of the bus, he became poorer because the bus spent only 3 weeks on road and spent 6 months in the workshop. Oh, come on. You're not telling me. It's not all that glitters. That is gold. One of my vice chancellors once said, if a poor man buys a bad car, he becomes poorer. Oh, boy. No, I didn't say that to you because there's no poor person in this place. So what am I saying? I'm simply saying that you can make a choice of a business associate, of a friend, and it may wind your clock backwards. You may choose somebody that you think you found Mr. Right, and he's amazing, and oh boy, hallelujah, glory to God. You know, some people are so emotional, they don't contact God for themselves. I'm a product of a broken home, so I know the pain. When mom and dad are not together and you're left on your own to struggle, you cannot take it for granted and be selfish and make poor and bad choices. Because, oh, he looks romantic. By all means, let him look romantic, but that's not the subject of priority. Oh, I'm not getting an amen now. Pastor, I think I'm preaching on the wrong subject today. So the first thing the presence of God came to do for them was to guide them. I met a pastor about 3 years ago in Ghana. He had come from the UK. And he was angry with God. And I asked him why. And he said he prayed to God to give him a wife. And God gave him a bad wife. And I said, oh, Pastor, is that what you are saying? He said, no, he had a dream. And in the dream, somebody told him, this is the woman you should marry. But the Bible said, try every spirit. And don't believe it immediately. After you have tested and tried and ascertained that it is the Spirit of God, that is when you commit yourself to it. Oh. So tell the next person, be guided. Be guided. Be guided. Even in your investments, be guided. Be guided. Allow God on a daily basis to lead you. Don't just get up. You have your own ideas. So how do you get guided? Number one, you have to learn how to strongly fellowship with the Word. You have to go beyond the casual reader of the Word to having a delight in the Word. The word delight means to have an extreme interest in something. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I love soccer, what we call in Africa football. But I love the Word of God more. I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
So I may know the top teams and the players and how they were transferred, but I know the Word of God. My delight is in the Word of God. So first of all, have the Word so you know the voice of the Word. Number two, fellowship with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
In moments like this in church and we're worshiping, you are fellowshipping with the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You are listening to the Word preached. It is the Spirit that is communicating the thing to your heart. It's an aspect of the fellowship. You rise up in the morning and you are praying to God. They are all aspects of you fellowshipping with the Spirit of God. Number three, as you do the first and second, the Word and the Spirit, you get to a place where your discernment gets sharpened.
Amen.
So you may move into a place and you may feel your spirit is disturbed and God may just ask you, be careful. Oh, you may not hear a loud voice or you may not see a bright light, but God will just be prompting you in your spirit. Be careful. Watch out. There's danger ahead. This person is not real. That is a con man. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. So, as you fellowship with the Word and the Spirit, your discernment gets sharpened. So you can distinguish between what is good from what is bad. And finally, trust in the Lord and walk by faith. God led Abraham to a city that he didn't know. So when God says, I will guide you to a good home, trust him.
Amen.
When he says, I'll guide you to a good partner, to a good business, trust him.
Yes.
Lean on him, rely on him.
Yes.
And walk alongside him. Number two, the presence of God that was with Israel offered them divine protection. From the text we read, they had arrived at the banks of the Red Sea. Pharaoh had changed his mind after he had released them and had authorized his army to go fetch them back. The Bible says Israel began to panic. And as Moses stood there, he began to call on God, and God asked him, what do you have in hand? He said, a rod. And God says, stretch it over the waters ahead of you. And he did. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
But even before he stretched the waters, I'm talking about divine protection now. The presence of God that was before them lifted and came behind them. And the Bible says it became a dividing wall. It was an invisible barrier. And the enemies could not come through the invisible barrier. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
The enemies could not challenge them. The enemies could not come against them because God was on their side. Now, in divine protection, the Bible says no weapon. Somebody say no weapon.
No weapon.
No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue that is risen against you in judgment, you shall condemn. So, oh, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
It says, no weapon, no weapon, no weapon, whether it's voodoo weapon, occultic weapon, weapons of the medium, and any kind of witchcraft weapon, humanistic weapon, political weapon, no weapon. Oh, can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Somebody says, somebody is trying to break my marriage. No weapon. Oh, you're not getting what I mean. You either believe the word or you believe the circumstances. No weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. In other words, that weapon shall fail. And every tongue that has risen against me in judgment, you will condemn. Come on, lift your voice and say, I condemn any tongue risen against me. You have to condemn it. Is there somebody curse you? Condemn the tongue. Oh, you are not condemning. You see, you have opportunity to condemn it. You don't want to open your mouth and condemn the pronouncements of evil against your life. We condemn the works of darkness. We condemn premature death. We condemn accidents and calamity. We condemn the sudden destruction. We condemn. We condemn failure. We condemn satanic interferences in our lives. Oh, I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
Oh, I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
Oh, I said I didn't hear an amen.
Amen.
Oh, are you there?
Yes,
are you there?
Yes,
oh, look at Psalms 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen.
Amen.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the protection, under the security, under the preservation, under the defense, under the covering of the Most High God. All you need is to locate the secret place of God and abide in that place. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. And then you will say of the Lord, you will say something from the secret place. Oh, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Oh, surely, which means certainly. Oh, in Hausa, the word surely is dole dole. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. Oh, surely. Oh, certainly, with guarantee from above, he shall deliver you from the snare, from the traps of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. Oh, his truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Oh, listen to thee. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Listen to me. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand side. Oh, only with thy eye shall you behold it, for it shall not come nigh thee. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. You will behold the reward of the wicked. And he said, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High thy habitation, there shall no evil befall you. Oh, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee and keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread, upon the lion and other. Jesus said he would tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and they shall by no means hurt you. Oh, verse 14 said, because he has set his love upon me. Oh, there's something about the power of love. Oh, drop hatred, drop bitterness, drop resentment, drop the anger, and pick on love, and set your love in God. And he said, because you have set your love, oh, come on, set it. Oh, you can set your radio, you can set your television to the right channel that you want. Oh, you can set even your camera to the right, whatever, and take the right shot, and you can set your love. You can set your love. Set your love. He said, because you have set your love upon him, he shall deliver you. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. Oh, I love this. With long life. Not with short life, but with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. If somebody has received the promises, come on, shout and give the biggest clap offering to them. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the angel of the Lord encampeth around his people. The Bible says the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them that walk uprightly before him. Unless the Lord build the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless he watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. Can I hear an amen? Divine protection is a protection that God provides to us. How does it come? Number one, through his word. There are promises such as we have read, and you appropriate the promises, you believe by faith, you stand on them, God will protect you. Number two, by his spirit, by his presence. Just as we saw about Israel, the cloud moved from ahead of them and became an invisible wall behind them. Can I suggest something to you? They will try, but they will never get you. Have you forgotten what the Bible says? It says, although they gather, as for the gathering, even God has not prevented them from gathering. So don't be disturbed when they gather. It says, they will gather, but it is not by me. So whatever they try will never materialize. It will never succeed. It will backfire on them. So don't be disturbed when they gather. God hasn't even prevented them from gathering. But he has decreed that what they do will come to naught. Amen. Number three, the blood of Jesus covers you. Amen. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Amen. It will exempt you from premature death. Amen. Number four, ministry of angels. The angels went ahead before Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. They shut the mouths of the lions. The number five, obedience, dwelling in the secret place. Righteousness is a protection. Number three, why his presence was with them, was to grant them divine miracle. Oh boy. I mean, the presence cannot be with you and you go through humanistic efforts alone. That all you do is simply manpower and nothing about Holy Ghost power. A miracle is an event which is inexplicable by natural or scientific laws. Miracles literally defy natural laws. They are events that are statistically unlikely. Oh, I'm not hearing an amen. And God would allow miracles to validate the word of God, to confirm the word of God. Secondly, God will allow miracles to step up the faith of his people. John 4:48, Jesus said unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Number three, miracles are intended to confirm the presence and the power of God.
Amen.
And fourthly, miracles are intended to get the attention of men for salvation.
Amen.
Israel had gotten to the banks of the Red Sea. On one side were mountains, the other side was a valley. Ahead of them was the sea. Behind them was the army of Pharaoh. They were panic-stricken. God asked Moses, what do you have in hand? He said, the rod. He said, stretch it over the waters. The Bible says the waters were collected, one to their left hand. It was a high wall, and the other to their right hand. And they saw the dry ground. When you study the Psalms, the Bible says God had made a way under the sea. Before you got to your challenge, God has already made a way out. Don't tell me you stay in poverty. Don't tell me you have problems and challenges forever. There is a way where there is no way. And God has laid the way at the foundation of the problem. So if you would just contact him, he will guide you. And he will show you what to do. Come on, shout amen and put your hands together, somebody. The Red Sea was 12 miles wide. And according to historians, the wall stood about 75 feet high on either side of them. Access was given. In miracles, God momentarily interferes with the laws of nature, suspends the laws, and then establishes his will and withdraws again. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. I mean, they're the laws of nature. They are working. And it says that you have to do this for 5 years before you see the fruit. But God appears and interferes with the laws of nature. And within a short period, he plants the fruit and then goes back and says, let nature continue. You are not getting what I'm saying. I see God interfering with some laws for you. I'm not hearing an amen. Oh, if Joshua was leading the people and he had to stand and he had to pray for the sun and the moon to stand still. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that he will conquer the enemies, God is going to give you extra time, somebody.
Yeah.
Oh, the height of Goliath was about 3 times the height of David. The man was huge, towering, had military experience. David was no match. But when the Lord is with you, you are majority. If 1 billion people are on the other side and God is on one side, God is the majority. So David faced Goliath 40 days, 40 nights. No military man in Israel could face him. But David faced him. And just with a stone in a sling flung at him, that was the end. Hit his forehead and straight to the ground. I mean, this has to be God. Oh, you're not getting what I'm saying. You're not getting what I'm saying. It has to be God. It has to be God. It has to be God. Can I tell you another miracle? There was a king by name Jehoiada, and he made an alliance with Jehoshaphat. They decided that there were some folks that they needed to deal with. And these were some Ammonites. So they decided to make a 7-day journey to deal with them. Unfortunately, on their journey, they ran out of water. And they were midway in the journey. To return, they would die. To continue, they would die. Oh, boy. That's a predicament. Caught between the rock and the hard place. Then one asks, is there no prophet in the surrounding area? You have to ask, is there no pastor who teaches the... Oh, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. And Jehoshaphat said, there is one. And he says, it's Elisha. Let's go to him. So they went to him, and Elisha wasn't the kind of prophet that would say something because he had taken a bowl of fufu.
You know?
He said, bring me a minstrel. Bring me somebody who is a skilled worshiper, who has capacity to play the musical instrument. And let me listen to what God will say. I will not prophesy according to my mind. I will not say according to my feeling. But I'll wait until I'm unctionized. I'm anointed. I'm inspired by the Spirit of God. And when I open the mouth and declare it, the hand of God, the power of God, the anointing of God shall back it, and the miracle shall occur. Oh, listen to what the prophet said. Oh, the prophet said that you shall not see the wind. Neither shall you see the rain. But the valley shall be filled.
Amen.
But the instruction was like this. Dig trenches, dig ditches in this valley. There's a reason I'll tell you shortly. Dig trenches in this valley. And he said, you will not see the rain, neither will you see the wind, but this valley shall be filled. Can I tell you something? Oh, your medical records may have shown that something was wrong. And you are expecting that something else will happen before something else changes. But you will not see the wind. Neither will you see the rain. But the next time you go for a test, everything will correct. You will not see the wind. Oh, tell somebody, you will not see the wind.
Neither will you see the rain.
By your valley. Shall be filled. Listen to what God will do. About 3 miles away, God will allow rains to fall on the high ground of Edom. And God will channel those waters from the mountains of Edom through the valleys where Jehoshaphat and his colleague were. Listen to me. Rain may not fall where you are. But rain is falling in New York. But my God is a miracle working God. He's able to channel rains from the Bronx. Oh, come on, you're not getting what I'm channel it all through the border of New York into New Jersey and into Elizabeth and exactly to where you are. Oh, somebody is not clapping. So the fact that rain is not falling where you are does not mean you must throw your arms up in despair. God is causing rain to fall somewhere. Somewhere else there's rain falling over there, and God is about channeling the rain to where else. Somebody must shout amen and say, I receive, I receive. By the following day, the rain started falling on the mountains of Edom. God had channeled it to nowhere else but to where these people were. They had dug ditches. You need to dig ditch now. If you've been praying last year and you didn't get the miracle you want, then you should not continue to pray the same way. Take it a notch higher. Dig some more ditches. If you've been studying the word and you study 5 verses a day and you have to dig ditches, then you need to go a little further. Oh, in previous times, anything that disturbed you, you complained about it. But now you are going to worship God. And thank God you're digging ditches.
Amen.
Oh, for some of you, you have had increment all over the years, but your tithe has not changed. Oh, can I say that again? You have had a constant tithe. And when the gradient of the tithe is drawn, it's flat. Your allowances have changed for the better.
Amen.
In some situations, your income has changed, but you're giving the same tithe. The same figure. Oh, now I got to the wrong place right now. You're going to dig ditches by giving. You are not going to give the regular, normal one. That is a comfort zone to you, but you're going to take a step further and say, Lord, I'm looking for deeper blessings. The Bible says in the Psalms, deep calleth unto deep are the noise of the water spouts. If you pour water from the first floor, it will make a certain amount of noise. But if you climb to the fifth floor and pour the same volume of water, the noise will be bigger. In other words, the deeper you go into the things of God, the more experiences of God you get. Oh, somebody shout amen. Amen. That day, the waters collected in the ditch. Tell somebody, dig your trench. Some of you, if it's possible, you must not miss weekday service. You are digging a ditch, a good ditch, so that when God channels his blessing, you will collect them. You don't miss the teaching service. You don't miss the prayer meetings for anything. And you know what God did further? He caused the sun to shine. And the reflection upon the waters was perceived by the enemies as if it was blood. And they said, wow, Israel has slain some people. We are the next online. Let us run away. But this army of the Ammonites were sophisticated fighters. How can you come to battleground with gold and silver? Oh, boy. I mean, with food, excess supply of provisions, with clothing. Are you coming for a fashion parade? That you brought changes of garment. But you see, God can confuse your enemies. Oh, boy. And what they shouldn't take to the battleground, they will bring it there. And it's all designed for your spoil. So you are going to get the spoil. You are going to get the benefits of overcoming your enemy. So eventually what happened was that they took to their heels. They ran away. And so was scripture fulfilled for Israel. They had water to drink. They took care of their flock. And the enemies they saw yesterday, they saw them no more.
Amen.
You will not see the wind.
Amen.
Am I prophesying to someone? Neither will you see the rain. But your valley shall be filled. If you believe the word, can you give a mighty hand clap of hand? So I'm prophesying. You will not see the wind. Neither will you see the rain, but this house shall be filled. It shall overflow into two services, into three services, into four services. This place will be too small. God will enlarge your coast and territory in the name of Jesus. Your business will begin to overflow. You will not see the wind, Mama. Neither will you see the rain, but it will just be happening. You will not see the wind. Neither will you see the rain, but your valley shall be filled. Let me end. I was given 45 minutes. I almost exceeded. The final one is divine victory. So where did we start from? Number one, we said divine guidance. Number two, divine protection. Number three, divine miracle. Number four, divine victory. Oh boy. You see, how do you explain the victory of King Jehoshaphat over three nations in the battleground with a choir ahead of them? Only the hand of God can grant that victory. It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it is God who showeth mercy. It is not by might, neither is it by power, but it is by my spirit, say the Lord. And he says, Zerubbabel, you who have laid the foundation stone, you will lay the final stone, the headstone. You won't start any project and not complete it. You won't start any project and die prematurely for another to inhabit. Whatever you started, the anointing to begin, you have been granted anointing to. And somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Oh, I said somebody shout amen.
Amen.
It is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but it's God who showeth mercy. While Israel were running on the dry ground of the Red Sea and hurrying to the other side, the armies of Pharaoh decided to pursue them. But when they got to the other side, God asked Moses to stretch forth the rod over the waters. And the Bible said the waters began to close gradually. And the wheels of their chariots began to clog in the mud. And they themselves turned to one another and said, God is fighting for them. Can I suggest something to you? Some of you fight your own fight too much. Those who are quarrelsome, they are, I'll go to a house and I'll show her who I am. Oh, don't show her who you are. Whenever you are in the ring, God is a spectator. But whenever you decide to stand in the stands and lift the name of God and declare the scripture, God enters the ring for you and he fights for you. Are you inside the ring or God is inside your ring? That day they had supernatural victory. Like it was prophesied, the enemies that you see today, you will see them no more. I have come to declare to you the enemies you see today in the name of Jesus Christ, who died and ascended into heaven, that Jesus, I declare that you will see those enemies no more forever by the power of God. Having heard the loudest amen since I came here. God gave them divine victory. May you have victory. Oh, can I say that? Amen. Victory in social life. Amen. Victory over emotional and psychological life. Amen. Victory in your spiritual life. Amen. Victory in your financial life. Amen. Victory over your career. Amen. Oh, victory in your relationships. Amen. Victory in your marriage. Amen. Oh, I say victory. Amen. May you move from grace to grace. Amen. And from glory to glory. Amen. Oh, the Lord is on your side. You can never fail. May all things work together for you, for your good, because you love God and because you are the called according to his purpose. Victory is on your side. Victory is on your side. If I have any witnesses of victory, I'm getting ready to clap myself, because I know I have victory. Oh, I'm not waiting for you to clap for me. Oh, come on. Clapping was never done in isolation. It was always combined with shouts. Psalms 47 verse 1. May the Lord bless you. May his presence ever abide with you. In the kitchen, may the presence of God be with you. In the garage, may the presence of God be with you. In the lobby, may the presence of God be with you. In the marketplace, may the presence of God, on the flight, in the ship, may the presence of God be with you. Wherever you are, in the basement of your house, may the presence be with your children in the school, so no negative influences shall reach their lives. Oh, you saw your bank balance, one moment. And you are wondering where the miracle is coming from. So you will not see the wind, neither will you see the rain, but your bank account will shoot up. Is it about immigration? You will not see the wind. Oh, and the amen is not strong. You will not see the wind, neither will you see the rain, but the documentation, legal documentation, shall be handed to you. May the Lord bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We sincerely hope you are blessed. For more information on these podcasts, email us at tetejangma@yahoo.com or call us on 0249-333-575. Stay blessed.